You guys are listening to TechEd TV podcasting series. In our show, we bring you the best in technologies, innovation, startups, fintech, artificial intelligence, cloud computing, and the latest and the greatest in technology worldwide. One. Hello, hello, hello. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. You guys are listening to TechEd TV podcast in one more broadcast of TGI Fridays, Tech Fridays, with Dan Gudima and myself. So we're so happy. How are you, Dan?
I am doing good. I'm awake today. Yeah.
You are great. So I want to play something here that I just...
Welcome to Tech Ed TV. Oh, today, TGI really? Fridays with Ed and Dan.
Oh, yeah.
You got it? So basically, it's just a synthesizer that it just synthesizes the voice. I think okay. We were discussing that idea.
Yeah, we were discussing that. Yeah, I'm very interested in that.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start today with let's start with the social world, with the Boca Raton authorities. And I was really surprised to see that the current mayor was, and everybody in the council, city council, we're supporting Mark Wigter, which is one of our friends.
Yeah, I mean, I've been friends with Mark for over 10 years. And it's like, you know, people said this about me, but I'll say this about Mark. There's like nothing I can say bad about Mark. That's really the reality. And he always tries to bring people together. He has vast amounts of knowledge. He is a very successful businessman here in Boca Raton, but he only tends to give. I have this analogy of him. I keep saying It's a Wonderful Life, you know, the movie show.
Right.
And there's a guy, I'm not going to mention his name. He's Old Man Potter. He controls all of Boca Raton. And there's the young upstart. That's who Mark is. Mark is a young upstart. He has done everything for people, keeps the rents low. He does certain things. He's helped people out.
He loves
tech people. So there's so much positive there that, you know, I've been working with him for years, and there's no animosity, no trouble, no issues with him. He doesn't have any.
Vote for Mark Wigter for mayor.
Well, that's not. He almost got it. He got a J sound versus a Y.
I don't know. It's like this. It's like.
One other thing I want to mention about Mark Wigter. It's very interesting because he and I both have a common love of biking, as you know, and I've been always inviting him on biking. He was too busy for my biking thing, but he has been a member of the biking committee. I used to go see him. He'd be in his biking outfit.
Okay.
But of course, he had to have like five bikes, the highest end bikes and really great bikes. And then, you know, of course, he's recovering from cancer and that.
That was really impressive, actually. Like he's a cancer survivor.
Cancer survivor, yeah.
And now he wants to help the community. And I think he has a little tech focus. He has a lot of interest in bringing tech. He basically say hi to Startup Pop right there. That was the first person. First his wife, then the Startup Pop, and then everybody else.
That's pretty funny.
That was like, wow, that's the priority. Wife number one, tech technology number two.
I mean, Boca is a tech town. IBM, Boca Boards.
Say hi to Startup Pop and the Glavitor.
And we had him here at the incubator. I think he said that he wanted to come to do like a podcast. Yep. So we'll bring him on board maybe one of these days.
Absolutely. And he gets stuff done. Like he is able to, because of his capability and his connections and everything he's done, he's able to make things happen. And he has a green theme to everything he does. Everything's green. The sustainability, solar power. So there's more to him than just, you know,
money and power.
The money he's not so concerned about. Well, I mean, he likes making money, but it's not his focus right now.
Okay, and then let's segue into what happened on Wednesday. We had like a demo day. Unfortunately, it was Yom Kippur.
Yeah, it was Yom Kippur. Mark actually commented to me, "Hey, this is on Yom Kippur." I said, "Well, I'm going to try to make it a little later," but it didn't matter. The majority of the Jewish community was too tired. I actually did not eat that day, so I was a little out of it that day. But
we had pizza.
We had pizza. That's great.
And rolls. Some rolls.
But the reality is, it's funny because it wasn't, you know, I'm so used to having events with 100 people. But, you know, with 20 to 25 people is not, it was actually, if we had any more tech involved, we wouldn't have time for it. So it's like a weird thing that having a small event here could be a good thing.
Yeah, no, I think the crowd was very receptive. And I think we had people that they, Even we have Benny coming from Cryptoland.
Oh, yeah. He was terrific. Yeah.
Yeah. So he presented his one of his startups and he liked it.
Was it BlockTick?
BlockTick? BlockTick. Yeah. So it's basically for tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a blockchain-based ticket platform.
I've been chatting with him on Twitter today. I've been going back. He is not, you know, a lot of tech guys are good at, you know, blockchain, but he's not very good at social media. So he was trying to pick up some Twitter techniques for me today. So I showed him some stuff.
Great, great. That's good to know that we're collaborating with everybody around the community. And then basically, like, you know, you have like a lot of interesting things with bots. What happened? Tell your experience with bots.
Well, the part of the, you know, I had this original idea, which was a game. Because remember, 20 years on and off in the dating event business. So like the month I created we created the business in 2001, 2002, I bought a domain called Little Mini Date and I just let it go because it was just not going to happen. But so I had this idea of creating an interactive dating game that like, but it's not really dating. It's like the people are anonymous. They just
bots.
So just basically, it's like a blind date with blind people.
It's blind date. Bots. So even if you're married, you can play it. Play it on your phone. Blind date. It doesn't
bots.
Matter. Like you can go on a date. So that idea I still have. I just haven't been able to do it. But recently, you know, I call these mashups. So I was able to do something, like I told you, where I accomplished some of the automation I wanted. Where I took a Google Sheet and I connected that to a little tiny piece of PHP code. And then I was able to do like a daily tweet and a daily microblog every day. Yeah. But I'm looking at that piece of code. And what I was saying to you earlier is I could take my bot idea. I could take my original game idea and turn this into a Twitter bot. And I, you know, where
bots,
we could ask people to just click here to fill out. I'm your dating bot. I'm Julie, your dating bot. And then they could fill out the form and just like they're signing up for regular, matchmaking services. And then the bot will go off, find some people. The advantage I have, as you know, is I have several hundred thousand people in a database from an active dating company I'm still involved with.
Right? So basically, instead of you searching and searching and searching, mm-hmm. your bot is your concierge and finds your girlfriend or your boyfriend.
Yeah. And I've been thinking this through. I mean, it would find the people and then say to those people, hey, are you interested in a date? And they would say, sure or no. And if they say sure, then it comes back and says to her, hey, you want to meet this person? I have a date I'm going to set you up with. But then someone's got to pay. You got to get credit. You got to pay. You got to do something. But the key to all this bot stuff is, because I've been working on this idea for a couple of years, is it has to feel human. Like if it feels like a human is doing it, then people won't have a problem. If it's very computerized, no. But do you care if it was a real person or not?
I don't.
Person?
I wouldn't care. I mean, it's, as long as like
they
match
date
me
on Friday,
because it's like tell me like TGI Fridays, and then you're like, okay, then I am a Friday afternoon, and I don't have a date. I don't have anywhere to go. But I'm gonna go to a hackathon after this, so we're gonna discuss that afterwards.
Yeah.
But the fact that someone can do the job for
TGI Friday with a date,
I don't have to be like swiping right, swiping left, or going click yes, no, maybe send a message.
So
2,000 messages, then the bot does the work for me.
Yeah, that's the bot side of it. But then the other side of it is like I think it's just lunch and whatever the other
ones. Let me think a little bit about
there's
that.
There's a lot of cost involved to do the real ones.
Yeah, but the business model, I would say, it was simple. Basically, said, look, I'll pay this bot. If statistically speaking, I think, let's say, certain men may need to talk to 100 women.
Yeah.
And we'll get one date.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some men may speak to 20 and then get two dates.
Yeah.
But some men will have to, like, has a hard time, maybe 100, even something, maybe 1,000. So maybe what you can do is say, okay, the bot will speak to 500 women,
mm-hmm.
and it will introduce you to 500 women that are actively dating.
Yeah.
And for that, you pay $50.
That would be a phenomenal. Like, look, that's like the
I will pay
date.
For that. And then
that's like the cheapest date around.
And then start on Monday. By Thursday, you have like, look, I have your three options here. Boom.
There you go. That's it. But the other thing is you could work your way through the database and ask them, are you interested in trying? Are you interested in trying? So you could go through hundreds. You could, yeah.
So it's basically like, you know, I've been contacted by some matchmaking services that do that with very beautiful females most of the time.
Yeah.
And then, but they in a way, I don't like the results because everything is a blind date.
Of course.
And they're never good.
Well, that's because, can I tell you what happened? We had somebody working for us, I believe, in Tampa, I think it was Tampa. And they left. They worked for the dating event company for 10 years.
Okay.
Then they went to work for It's Just Lunch for like 6 months.
Okay.
And then they quit. And then they came back and they told us, they're like, you guys have like 5,000 people in your database in Tampa. They got like five. Okay.
Okay.
So what happens with It's Just Lunch and other services, they only match people who are willing to pay them the $1,200. So it's very limited. So the pool that they're dealing with is so small for matchmakers that you're going to get, whether you know it or not, you're never going to get served at a very sophisticated level. You think you are, but they don't have access to the data. Mm-hmm. They don't have access to any data. So this woman felt bad about it because working at It's Just Lunch, because she felt she had to force people on.
Dating services don't work. I am still single.
I didn't sure. say it right.
How do we get that bot to be a little bit better? We have to.
We need to switch it to Spatial or one of the higher premium. Yeah. So, but we're gonna do that. So we're gonna add some like speech to text like bots to join the chat room to and the TGI Fridays or even any of the other like show we have.
So we can have somebody typing over here. We could like both be typing like
in that way. I can meet my match.
You know what we should do? We should do like fake voice, like deep fake voices.
Deep fake.
And then we can have like Trump. Biden.
Yeah. We can have Trump and Obama debating.
That would be so funny, right? But going back to your It's Just Lunch and the issues with that, I think you're totally correct. I think I feel that they were forcing because they have to meet a quota. You pay for 11 dates, I think that's what you pay.
Wow. Okay.
And you pay it's 11 or 13 dates. I'm not sure.
That sounds like a $1,500 fee.
It's a very hefty fee, and then they like give you a discount up to $750. So you pay like, but in a way, basically, I think effectively, like men, if they're listening to that, I think financially it makes more sense to just approach a girl in the bar, and then just go to 11 bars in maybe like in a matter of 4 weeks.
Okay, that'll work.
And then just invite them all.
That'll work, but the quality of the woman you get is going to be. A good chance to be crazy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but the scene, we have to see the probability of getting a crazy woman with something like It Just Lunch, too.
It's not crazy. I'm talking like alcoholic, problematic.
Oh, well, like yeah. We found some of those already.
I've been through this. So, the tech guy, most tech guys, the bar scene is just like not even a starter. They just wouldn't even go.
They start
on Twitter. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
No, they start on Twitter. That's or a bit of
Discord. Now they're starting.
I disagree. Not all women are crazy.
Is that supposed to say something?
It says no.
No, no. The computer wants to fight back against the bot. You know?
No, but I think that's a great idea. I think we should just make a small prototype and see how it goes.
Yeah.
And try it out. And then, that comes back to like what's going on today, actually. Like, we have a hackathon at the FAU campus,
mm-hmm.
sponsored by South Florida Tech. It's Hack My City. Okay. So, I think the same people that were at Mac Winters will be there again.
Really? A few of them, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're interested, I'm a coach.
As long as it's not, George. I mean, right now we're talking, as long as I'm not there at 7 p.m.
I will say
there's another virtual speed dating event tonight, so I'm kind of free.
Okay.
There is, I don't know if I mentioned this last TGI Friday, but my wife is in charge of the dating event company. So, and she ran her, she ran her first virtual date event last night, speed dating event.
Wow.
And she looked at a dozen platforms. Sorry, guys, because I know three or four people, if they listen to this, they won't be happy with me, but she went with Zoom.
Oh,
we evaluated like six or seven platforms out there.
And Zoom was the easiest.
Some were good. Some were decent. I'm surprised they actually worked. But in the end, she went with Zoom I won't mention the name of it, but there's an add-on for Zoom.
Okay.
She used.
Okay.
And even that didn't work that good. It had a lot of problems, you know.
Well, it's a first prototype. You have to do an MVP and try it out.
I know there are three or four products out there that are excellent. In the market. Okay. We just don't know. They're being coy because we have competitors. I'll just leave it there.
Okay.
if you want to look me up and sell us
So if you have a great like meetup dating, virtual dating platform, go to Dan at
SEO Turbo
Booster. SEOTurboBooster.com.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. Don't you have like a Gudima website?
Oh, yes, you can just go to Gudima.com.
Gudima.com, yeah. Dan, do you have like Dan at Gudima.com?
Years ago I used to use it as domain name, but like it got taken over by bots. Daniel at gooddemon.com. I had to kill it for a year or two to get rid of all the bots that were sending it.
Because everybody was sending you like a lot of spam.
They were sending other people as me. How it happened. Like, I became like, I just checked it. It's not blacklisted anymore, but for a while it was. Okay. It's just, there's a whole world of email and
impersonation. That's terrible.
I've really focused in on Gmail as the methodology for all my email because I just feel that those independent emails, they get hacked.
Well, there are two pieces of good news as well. I mean, so much thing happening 1 week, man. It's just crazy.
A lot going on.
A lot. So basically, we're launching the NFT incubator now. Terrific. It's officially. Okay. So we have a structure, we have a plan, we have tools, we have software, we have everything.
So explain to me who would be really interested in this in Boca Raton. Is it creators?
Right now, I cannot disclose two personalities. To celebrities that are interested in the platform. Basically, they want to launch their own NFT.
I'm saying there's four or five kinds of people. Who do you want to come into our incubator? Do you want artists?
Basically, the way it's going to work is very simple. It will be created an LLC where investors, exactly like entrepreneurs, launch a startup. Then the investor will be able to invest in the startup.
Gotcha.
Then the intellectual property created by the NFTs and the software, it will be part of the startup. Then is the smart contract. The smart contract could be split in a different way than the startup. So then basically, the smart contract could be split maybe between another marketing company or the incubator.
Okay.
And then, so you may have position in the company and may have a position in the smart contract or both.
So that's the structure you're talking about, the structure we're looking for here. But what about the types of people, the artist, creator, the programmer, blockchain programmer, all these people that are in this world, how do they fit in or do they fit in?
No, right now, because the Eglavator will have the technology for the NFT, then we would just want people that have ideas and fans, and maybe like even if they need some marketing, then we have a network of influencers that they can tap into.
Are you actually converting this from speech to text for this one or no?
This one it will translate from speech, but I need to update.
Because I want to mention that I'd like Mozverse to come by, Danny Moz to come by, and Mozverse to come to the Eglavator and chat with you. But he and his partner in the group, I just chalk it up as they're so antisocial or so not.
It's not that way. I'm like super social, man.
No. I'm saying I've tried getting in touch with them, and they're so not like watching their socials.
Okay.
And they're so not like on top of things. But if their name shows up like in the SEO indexing from this podcast, maybe Dan and Moz actually see that and actually come over here because he probably lives a block from here.
Well, let's put the name, even if the translator doesn't do it, the speech to text.
Like, why is his name showing up there? Because he is really, he and his group, Mozverse, are really at the forefront of W3 NFT and blockchain crypto here in Boca, a few blocks from here, but we don't know them because they're so shy.
Yeah, no, but we're gonna get there. I think a lot of people have seen what we've done, and then they were like, I got a few people that they've seen the offering. And they're like, nobody's offering what we're offering right now. So that's why I made the website, nft.eagla.com or eaglanft.com.
Okay.
That would be easier.
Are you also saying there's going to be like an NFT 2.0 resurgence coming? Because it hit bottom recently. I mean,
No.
Nobody lost their money, but no one can sell anything.
No. Like right now, I think people are a little bit confused. I think what happened was the initial version of NFTs is tied to the images and the pictures.
Okay.
And then, but the real use case of the NFTs, I think, is more on like like we said before, it's a token replacement technology.
This sounds like what happened between 97 and 2000. Between 97 and 2000, everyone's buying porn. We're like, the internet's all about porn. Why would it be involved in the internet? It's all about porn. So then after 2001, we can actually use this to buy stuff. Wait a second.
Yeah, exactly. I think the same thing is occurring with NFTs. So the NFTs are becoming like contract. And then we have the evolution from ERC 721 tokens to 1155 tokens too, which is more efficient. And I think that's and I think like we said before during the presentation on Wednesday, I see it more like the Web 2.5, basically membership replacement, ticket replacement, fan perks, contracts,
security, transparency, and security.
It's secure and it's transparent and it's very, we can call it self-governance.
But overall, you're saying blockchain, W3, and NFT is moving from Miami to Boca. Experimental to the real world up here.
I don't know what Miami has a lot of world. Miami has too many
it's a made up world.
Too much bluff
and no engineers. There's no engineers in Miami, and it's a made up world.
You know, that was the question. Did I mention that to you? I went to this crypto documentary. The crypto documentary that I got interviewed.
There's one guy, Benny. He'll do the work.
Yeah, he's the only person that's done the work for 50 people. so it's that's funny. No, but what we're saying is that they asked me the question, like, where are the engineers? And the guy's from Silicon Valley. He said, I'm from Silicon Valley. I'm like, okay, so what? And then he's we have engineers to the wazoo. Yeah, I know. Where are the engineers in Miami? I mean, in Miami? No, maybe, I don't know Miami, but I've seen them in Broward. They have Citrix. They have Microsoft. They have Magic Leap. They have.
So we should create a new university right here in Boca called Stan Beach.
I will become a student at Stan Beach University,
and all private, and you know, all the VCs will put up the money for the university.
No, I mean we have. Have you heard of Ben's project, the Helix 11?
No.
It's basically a decentralized university.
Oh, really?
So then basically the problem that he solves is that you take all your degrees from one university.
Okay.
And you want to go to another university. The other university will say, no, you can only transfer 40 credits. You have to kind of start. You kind of have to start all over, basically.
It sucks. It sucks. I've done it.
But what he's saying is that, no, forget about that. We're gonna have all the universities in the blockchain
and recognize the credits at every university,
and then they can just validate the credits from different classes.
But University of Phoenix not a part of it.
I don't know. Right now,
I'm kidding.
No, of course, yeah. It's like
qualified school.
If you take a statistic 101 at University of Maryland, and then you take a statistic 101 at University of Phoenix, I'm pretty sure you barely will understand what a bell curve is.
Boca code.
Boca code, no comment.
They're a pretty good coding school.
No, it's like I said to my friends. I said, look, there will be architects and engineers that can build skyscrapers, and there'll be contractors that can put drywall. Yeah. But it doesn't mean that you can have a contractor that put drywall to you. Say, hey, can you build a skyscraper? yeah, I'll take care of it. Yeah, sure. It's like, your dad is an engineer.
My father's a civil engineer. He'd be like, he's not a PE.
Yeah, but it's like engineering and software engineering is a craft that people do a lot of the code. Yeah. But the main problem is that you may see the result of a program today that's a prototype that runs, but then having that program made by 50 people, having that program be like scalable to millions of people, having that program to be maintainable. Mm-hmm. Then you need engineers, because the engineers will have to basically start figuring a lot of stuff out. Then they need to calculate how many servers are required. Because if you just let it loose to just best effort, then maybe you don't have the knowledge from. I don't think you can learn all that in 8 weeks in Boca code.
Forget about that.
Yeah, it's impossible.
You can do Hello World.
No, I mean, maybe you can learn. For example, if you do that, and then it becomes like a craftsmanship, and then you join like a development organization, like a software engineering team. At the Iglevator, we put 50 engineers, 10 engineers.
I think the fundamental problem is this: it's what's before that. So the foundation for me to learn to be a programmer was a year or two of calculus. You know, the foundation for me is I could write. I'm a writer. Okay. The foundations are the things that make you whole as a person.
Exactly.
So Boca code just coming along and saying, forget about the foundations. You're gonna learn JavaScript and you go out and get a job for $50,000. So I've met guys like that. They run into the wall eventually.
They have to plateau. You know what else happens as well the same way when you practice martial arts. Mm-hmm. Some people, they see I want to be an MMA fighter, and they just learn maybe three kicks and a couple of punches, and, okay. And they can do okay because most of the people are not trained like that.
Yeah.
But if you want to turn that into a discipline, you want to turn that into like a career, it's something that takes too much time, basically.
I mean, I have to, you know, in times of need, like this is how I ended up with a career. In times of need, I didn't finish my computer science degree. I finished my political science degree. So, but there was such a demand for engineers back in the year was 1990, that I ended up an engineer, even though I didn't have the degree. That's demand in the field. But I don't know if we have that anymore.
But I think
we do have demand in the field.
We have.
I was created by an engineer, and you need critical thinking.
See, the bot is saying the same thing I'm thinking.
You're right. We have to give the bot a name. The bot's needs a name. I have to think of it's got to be like,
You're good with that. So you
should come up with a name. It's going to be like Boca Bird or something like that. Hey, Boca.
No, but what I was trying to say is that what happened is like, I think people have the inclination to be an engineer because they have the mindset, a critical mindset, and it's easy to learn. But if you don't have the critical mindset like that, it doesn't really matter how much you shove into your brain. You just can't do it because it's like I told you before, there are people that can play basketball. Even if they're 5'9", 5'10", you know, like 11, 7 feet tall, but they're so good that they can make it.
Yeah.
But even though some guys are 7 feet tall, they cannot play basketball.
I would say the exception is the substitute, and this is what happened to me. I mean, I had half a computer science degree, so I knew how to program a little bit. But by getting the job at the larger company and working in the field for 8 years, doing coding, working with people explaining things to me constantly, those 8 years were almost like an apprenticeship to me.
That's exactly that's the word I was trying to use. Apprenticeship is in Germany has two types of engineers. I don't know if you know that, but they have the academic engineer that learns the theoretical math and the physics.
Gotcha.
And they have the practicum, the guy that basically goes and learns 2 years of university, very basic, and usually out of high school, and then they go in an apprenticeship program with Mercedes-Benz,
and then become a trained engineer. Or they become like a plumber, maybe, or a hydraulics engineer.
Yeah, so they may become very specific. Like if they make like a car, they know everything about hydraulics.
Okay,
Some of them may specialize later in more
advanced stuff. They may work at Porsche or BMW and working on aspect of that car. Okay, yeah, because the other engineer doesn't want to do that.
Yeah, exactly. So they are the guys that actually know how to live in like cut the metal, do welding, stuff like that.
We don't have that kind of program in the U.S.
No, we should. People
have been calling for that.
We must.
I've been talking about the county college level, getting more into, non-academic type career paths.
They should, because I think both
are needed. We had it back in New Jersey, but it's all private, like Chubb. We had a bunch of them in New Jersey, Apex Tech. But I think it would be better if it was inexpensive and it was by the universities that are public.
Yeah, no, and the equipment to learn that is expensive.
Because I would have taken some electrician classes if I could. My parents kept steering me away. You're not going to be an electrician. Not going to be an electrician. But I would have loved being a trained electrician because I could make some good dough on the weekends. I would be like,
yeah, no, that's exactly like I think I feel grateful because my university was very hands-on, so that you had a little every class had a lab.
Gotcha.
And you had to learn everything from soldering to like mounting equipment to measuring equipment, burn stuff, blow stuff. Mm. It's hopefully blowing up. Like I think one of my classmates got electrocuted with a motor because the capacitor got charged and he's like, "Are you charged?" And so it's like, "No." And then he grabbed the wires and boom. So he flew
I
like,
have such a different path than you. I mean, I was so not into school. I mean, it's not into school, but I went to university and I got my master's. But everything I ever did, I tell everybody, I took as much as I could outside class. Like I would go help a business start. I would do writing. I went to work for a senator on Capitol Hill. I did internships. I wrote papers. I did everything I could, but then I didn't want to sit in the class. I'm the opposite.
No, but I think you have a naturally critical mind, and that's what is needed for
engineering. That's what the Boca Code people will be missing, most likely.
And that's exactly the critical mind. You develop that by being punished by professors, and being like basically slapped on the face by calculus.
I know.
By electromagnetics.
I know I'm good at criticism because I took advanced criticism in English and I passed. It was very, very tough. And years later, I had an ex-girlfriend who was getting an advanced in her master's degree, she was getting a criticism, music criticism, advanced music criticism class with like a 100-page paper had to be written. And she couldn't write because she was, you know, European, Russian. So I wrote that paper for her on music criticism. So I know I can do it in any field.
Yes, did you see that? That sort of thing was what those academies don't teach, and they can't teach because it's such a they compress it in such a short period of time.
Yeah.
I think I would say those academies will work if you're already a developer and maybe you're still writing code in C and C++ and you need to be retrained to like catch up and you don't want to do that on
I
your own.
I think about it. I pass my book of code and I think, you know, maybe I should go over there and learn some more JavaScript libraries. That'd be a good thing for me.
Because you already know how to code. You've done it for many years. Yeah. But if you're fresh out of school, fresh out of high school, and you just want to go there and think that you're going to become a developer,
yeah,
I don't think it's, I mean, high chances that maybe one out of 50
There were major changes in the world of programming in the last 30 years.
It's changed everything.
I had to go back and study RDBMSs. They didn't exist when I started. I had to go take classes on them. I also, when the first objects were being used, I went to Sun and took Sun classes on Java. And that's how I learned object-oriented programming in those classes. They weren't teaching it in my undergrad.
We just want one last remark before we close. I got a call from Amazon. Oh, they sent me an email, Amazon.
Yeah.
And Amazon says like, oh, we want a 5G engineer. 5G engineer.
Oh, 5G, yeah.
And I was like, okay, so can you send me 5G Amazon? I was like, that's crazy. No. Anyhow, so I sent an email. I said like, can you send me like documentation where you have? And they sent me the list of documentation. They call me the next day and they said, like, we will be the next $1 billion business for Amazon because they're offering 5G private networks to Uber Eats, to FedEx, to all corporations. They're going to have their own 5G network.
So this is Amazon.
Amazon.
Business division.
Amazon Web Services.
And you don't think they should be broken up?
I think they have to be broken. That's, I mean, when I heard it, I was like, oh my God.
Because that's going to turn.
They have a grocery store. They're going to be 5G.
Okay,
they're
going to
be
Verizon,
e-commerce.
Now they're going to make an enemy of Verizon and AT&T.
Yes.
And there's trouble.
They're going to become enemies.
Those groups have their deep.
They're going to clash because it's like they're going to start eating the Verizon's lunch.
And Verizon can't come back and compete with Amazon and its other businesses.
It can't. No. It just can't. I think those companies may have to make the decision to say, look, we just own the bank, we just own the frequencies and the towers.
Yeah.
And maybe just leave everything. But again, it's like, do you want Amazon to know like all your phone calls now?
Look, for 30 years, these people have been working on libertarianism, freedom. And this is where it's going.
It's out of control.
Amazon's going to move in on that train and say, we can do whatever we want and control everything.
Yeah, no. Like, the next thing that you would know.
In the name of anti-communism, we control everything.
Now you will see Amazon is going to buy Netflix. Then Amazon.
What are you,
will
a grow, communist? No, sorry.
Amazon is probably going to buy like maybe Sprint and Verizon together,
I mean,
combined. And
competition is American. Competition is a good
thing. Yeah, okay. Competition, in my opinion, is the best way of capitalism.
And
in fact, Karl Marx, I don't know if I'm mistaken or correct, but I remember Karl Marx said at one point, communism and capitalism are blended together. You will not know the difference.
There you go. They become the same.
They become the same because it's like the same authoritarianism that but now in one place, it's supposed to be owned by the people.
Every time one company or one guy got in charge of everything in America in the past, it resulted in lack of competition, higher prices, trouble. I think Google and Amazon completely have not innovated for 15 years. It's my opinion.
No. You saw the CEO of Google. He's saying like, oh, like we need to like get rid of some people because it's not like bringing back people to work. I think they cut down on all the free food. They cut down on like the massage or whatever.
Life is different there.
Yeah. So
they're now IBM.
Yeah, because it's like they're IBM. They're a bunch of bureaucrats. I see my friends that work at Google on Facebook, they're just like in parties. They're just
just
traveling around the world.
The money.
Working from quote unquote home.
Yeah. Anybody that wants to create their own business wants to work at home.
Okay.
So, but anyway, that's just, I predicted it. We're going to hear the breakup one day. It's coming. I've predicted it. It's coming.
All right. So I think let's listen to the bot one more time. I don't know what he has to say. Or is it she or is it he?
You guys are totally
like
crazy.
It was a, what was that? What was that thing? There's a he, there's a she. What's the other box? It's a non-binary.
Okay. It's
just... Or maybe he's binary. He's binary. Sounds like a guy.
It sounds like a guy.
He's binary.
Maybe he's an it.
You know, he's binary. He's ones and zeros.
He's, you know, he's maybe he's a quantum state.
He's a quantum state.
I want to make it like a quantum sex. Quantum sex. You never know until you see it. Quantum sex. Yeah, it's like the Schrodinger uncertainties principle. You don't know what it is until you see it.
But they're in another universe, and they're not here.
It's like the cat. It's dead and alive at the same time.
they're not here right now.
All right, guys.
Evan is in quantum state. He's not here right now.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, guys. So we had a great time with Dan. So stay tuned for next episodes, and we'll be at the hackathon in Florida Atlantic University for more interviews with the hackers hacking the city again. Thanks, Dan.
Okay. You have a great night.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
This show is brought to you by IGLA Communications at the IGLAVATOR in Boca Raton, Florida.